So what is the deal with early? You getting buns tonight or something?
Getting buns?
No.
Not nine.
It's just, I mean, ridiculously late.
I mean, I was mentioning it to Renee earlier. It's like the life of the podcast. We always recorded it.
We were younger.
9 o'clock.
No.
We weren't that much younger.
First of all, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
8:30 was the time.
Oh, stop it. That's what we said we'd want to record, but then we haven't started at 9 o'clock.
Right. Oh, well, I mean, no, you mean when we actually did it? But right, but 9 o'clock means 9:30.
8:30 means 9. See, we started at 9.
All right, but you said 9, so we started at 9:30.
Well, that's when we would actually start. It would be at, well, when I say 9, I actually meant I'd be ready by 9 today.
Yeah, but we weren't going to do that.
Which is weird. It's like, fuck, we did it later. We were more hammered.
I think we liked the idea of doing it a little earlier, so you actually, I don't know, you know, for me at least, it's easier to do it earlier than later.
Fucking old farts.
Well, you knock it out.
I agree. Look, it's nice when it's, you know, 8:30 and we're done. I don't mind that, but
I don't miss the, you know, drunk at 2 a.m. going to bed, waking up hungover.
Well, the problem is because you and Damon would cuddle for 2 hours after the show recorded. So that's y'all's fault, not mine.
Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 0. But I'm working on it. Should have at least a 1 or a 2 by the end of the show. Let's see.
Do you think because it's the beginning of training camp, the beginning of a new season, we're going to have hopefully some new listeners, you know, joining in? Why don't we explain the drunk scale?
That's a good point, because I've noticed a high increase in Twitter and Facebook followers over the last couple of weeks, especially this past week. So yeah, I think the activity of interest is rising now that the season's kind of getting close. So the idea here, folks, is we don't report the news, we comment on it. We do have a bias to the Saints, but that's who we are. We are the Dome Patrol podcast. We represent a niche community, New Orleans Saints fans from around the world, and if you're easily offended, you could go ahead and stop listening now. The way we typically do the show is when we introduce ourselves, the little segment there, we ask for a number, and the number is based on a scale from 1 to 10, how drunk you are. Because our whole idea behind the start of the show, when we ever started it, was we're a bunch of friends, we kind of grew up together, we always love the Saints, we talk about it. So this is the equivalent of us sitting around the bar, having a couple of drinks with some friends, and talking about the Saints, and whatever else we feel like talking about. And so this is your opportunity to pull up a stool and have a drink with us. Sometimes we drink responsibly. Other times we get inebriated. And then there's other times where Jason eats fish.
Fried fish.
Fried fish.
Fried fish. Not just fish, fried fish.
Of their bad offensive line play.
It's been great.
All right, what else?
Fried fish. I'm an idiot.
Wait, finish chewing and then say it.
No, I can't because I need fried fish.
Fried fish?
I need fried fish. How about that, bitch? I mean fried fish.
Are you eating fried fish?
Yep, I mean fried fish. What the fuck is going on?
You're eating fried fish.
I mean, fried fish, bitch.
Stop.
Oh, my God.
Just stop. That is the cold open right there.
What am I doing?
I think we just found our cold open.
I mean, fried fish, bitch.
Okay, I just put it all out of my mouth. I mean, I was eating fried fish. There was some good fish. But I was eating it. No, I'm not. I had to spit it out just because. God damn it, that was some fried fish.
So anyway, yeah, training camp's officially begun, which means that from this point forward, there is not a single weekend without football for the remainder of the year. That also means we are back to our regular weekly episodes, and based on the general feeling in the first week of camp, I'd say we have reason to be cautiously optimistic.
It's still a little cautious.
Yeah. So, between the NFL Network's over-coverage of every tweet and Instagram post from every player in the NFL, and LSU's no media kickoff, I think it's safe to say that the Dome Patrol podcast is the perfect middle ground for insane, illogical, irrational opinions on the stories that make up this week in Louisiana football. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number? I feel like I'm on like a game show where it's like, what's your number?
Oh, okay. I got home from work about 20 minutes ago and made a Red Bull and vodka, and I'm, I don't know, maybe a third of the way through. So getting close to a one, not there yet, but I'm sure when I'm done with it, I'll be a two.
All right. And then Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. How you feeling? And the reason we asked Damon how he's feeling is because I think in the time that he's been on the show, he's only had a number once, so we just quit asking him for a number.
Yeah.
Damon doesn't drink. Not because he's against it, but because when he does drink, he never stops.
I'm still waiting for the one show where Damon's like a 7 or an 8.
Well, let the Saints make the playoffs. I think we'll have it.
Good motivation there.
Yep. All right, let's move into our first segment. Return of an oldie for those of you who've been with us for a while. It's called Overanalyze This. And I think that's perfect for training camp, training camp opinions, training camp commentary.
Everything. Because
basically, let's overanalyze every catch, every pass, every hit.
That's what happens when you have 6 months of no football, and now it's just it's something, and people are here craving it.
That's right. All right, so start off with maybe your camp standouts.
Well, clearly, Brandon Coleman is on his way to an all-pro season, right?
Speaking of overanalyzing things.
Hall of Fame career, is that what you're saying right now?
Hall of Fame career.
You're calling
it? Saints Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor, everything.
So doesn't he always have a good camp?
Not how they're blowing him this year, no.
Yeah, not like this.
Yeah.
I think Peyton said last year he had a pedestrian camp. This year he's the superstar. He's shedding tackles, he's making catches, he's actually blowing by some defensive backs, and he's not really known for his speed. But he's another year removed from his injuries that he took towards the end of college. They said he's 6'6", 230. Just a chiseled human being. And they interviewed him the other day, he said, look, it's time for him to put up or shut up, basically. I mean, this is technically his third year in the league. He can't keep fucking dilly-dallying and expect a new career. So he's looked pretty good so far. Again, it's training camp. But he's been the one guy that everybody seems to have taken notice of, for sure. I mean, I hope to God it pans out.
Me if I'm not as quick to jump on the Coleman bandwagon. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but history shows.
He was an undrafted free agent, you know, so it's not like we wasted first-round pick like P-Rob.
He's better than over half the draft picks the Saints have made.
He's still here. He was drafted in 2014, you know. You know, he's still here. Isn't he the only one from that season still here?
Well, he wasn't. Like he said, he wasn't drafted. Was it?
Right.
Was it?
No, no. He was.
Out of 14
he was.
Or 15?
He was undrafted out of 2014.
I know he was coming off a significant injury in college, and that's kind of why his career that's why he went undrafted and why he started up pretty slowly. Because, and look, if the guy can get it together, I mean, there's not many receivers out there, 6'6", 230. That's a nice red zone option for the Saints if this translates into real games. And, man, that'd be a huge fucking gift if it does, because after trading Cooks, you're like, well, shit, I know we have Thomas, and Sneed's pretty good, but, man, what's up with our receiving core? But that's the one thing that's kind of come out of camp so far, and I know it's only been 5 days of practice, but our receiving core, even the lower-tier guys fighting for that last spot, they all seem to be having pretty good camps. Coleman's out there making plays. Jake Lampman was out there making a few plays. You've got the other guy from Virginia Tech, Corey Fuller, out there making plays. It seems to be like they've got a plethora of quality receivers out there. Ted Ginn's still having a few drops. You know, he's already in midseason form.
Ted Ginn's going to do what Ted Ginn's going to do.
We're just going to have to accept it. He's going to have some games where he makes great plays, and then there's going to be long plays where he's wide open. And
so here's the question. I mean, is he guaranteed a spot then? I mean, like, let's say Coleman outperforms him and another guy outperforms. Are we obligated to bring him on and keep him going just because of his past NFL experience? And
well, no, because of his contract. I mean, we gave him a three-year deal.
As well, then?
$15 million. But also, I mean, he could end up, if worse comes to worse, those other guys beat him out or look better than him on the offense, at least we can stick Ginn back there in the return game, and he can return kicks and punts. So, I mean, Ginn's, to me, no matter what happens, Ginn's pretty safe. I don't see any way that we cut him. So. Other than that, camp, you know, it seems there was an article today about they interviewed the defensive coordinator. Or the defensive line, the new defensive line coach Nielsen. He's talking about the guys having to replace Fairley, and you know, liking what he's seen from Rankins, and Omenyatta has been getting more time than Tyler Davidson has, so maybe Omenyatta has moved up. Maybe he's going to be the starter next to Rankins at the defensive tackle spot.
Or he'll at least get the heavy playing time in against Cleveland. Maybe.
Is that our first preseason game, Cleveland?
It is.
Thursday the 10th.
Yep.
Okay. I should know these things.
I should, but in preseason, you know, I'm excited when it comes, and then the first preseason game kicks off, I'm like, okay, I'm tired of this. Give me the regular season.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there.
Yeah. So what other camp standouts, Damon, any that Jason didn't mention that warrant a little mention from you?
I mean, like you said, it's only 5 days in. I mean, those are the only two that I remember them, you know.
Yeah.
Been really talking about it.
There's a handful of other guys.
What about Adrian Peterson's impact on the offense? Or even just kind of fans' attitude? It seems like people are really excited. He's gotten a lot of, let's call it, press coverage.
Well, of course, he's a fucking Hall of Famer. He's going to get press coverage.
Well, makes sense, I guess.
But, it's part of... This goes back to part of the thing of when you see the reports from training camp, it's like, oh, this guy made a good play. This guy made a good play. It's all small individual plays, and of course, they make a good play. It's going to say, man, that guy made a great play, but they're not going to mention the plays where they looked average or didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, but so you're looking for a guy that gets mentioned a lot, that every time he does, again, like Damon said in the last episode, how you practice is how you play. Who's hustling? Who's trying? Like Kenny Vaccaro, it seems like he's practicing hard out there.
Well, he's in a contract year. He's playing for a contract. Of course he is. Well, I would be too.
Then you know what? Put them all on 1 year contracts.
I would be too. The guys have said Kamara has looked pretty. From what people have seen from Kamara, they expect pretty big things in the passing game out of him. But we haven't seen it in a game. I guess after next week's preseason game. I guess we'll get a little taste of it, but we really haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys are going to, there's some other guys, Big Hill, the linebacker, they say he kind of looks the part. He made a couple of plays, and that's it. Everybody's kind of make a couple of
everybody's
plays.
Everybody's going to make a play. And that's the other thing I think about is where you're doing what you're doing, and they're kind of going through the motions. Is it the defense can't truly tackle yet, right? I mean, I didn't see guys truly tackling.
I mean, they're
yeah. I mean, are they even in pads?
They are in pads.
Yeah, they were
not in every practice, but they aren't. Like, right. I think Saturday was the first padded practice.
Don't know but if you want them hit.
But even then, a lot of the clips that I saw were the defense kind of get your hands on you, hit, make a little hit, but you don't bring them to the ground. Which, see, I think that's there's an unknown there to say, okay, they're doing that. You don't know how good we're going to be tackling because we're not necessarily seeing the practice of tackling.
Well, again, it's 5 days in. We'll have 4 preseason games.
They're professionals.
Right, and they'll have they'll have practices where they're they're really
You don't want to beat each other up, right? But I always felt like with the defense, when you practice not tackling, how much does that impact
develop the bad habits?
Yeah, that, I agree. Maybe that's the whole hard hit defense concept that the Saints seem to employ every now and then, where you hit more than you wrap up. Maybe it's because we practice that way.
Oh, you mean the Tabucky Jones style of defense?
Or who was it, the coordinator before Dennis Allen? I already forgot his name.
Rob Ryan?
Yeah.
Rob Ryan.
Wasn't Rob Ryan more of a hit him than wrap him up?
He was more of a drink him.
Drink him. Hit him. Hit the bottle. No, but, I mean, the other part is you see these guys making plays and making catches and all that in a practice. Well, yeah, you're the best football players, you're among the best football players in the world because you're in the NFL. I expect you to catch a ball thrown at you in practice from Drew Brees. And that's what worries me about, again, like Drew Brees is throwing you the ball in a practice setting and you still drop it.
Well, look, he did have drops, but he also has made some pretty decent plays. So, but of course, when Ginn drops the ball because he's known for dropping the ball, that's going to get accentuated.
Well, that's why I brought it up. I'm going to overanalyze this segment.
Well, sure.
I'm overanalyzing. If this was just analyze this, I would have never mentioned it.
The one thing that has me, there hasn't been a lot of injuries over the first couple of days, but Bro missed practice. Now, they didn't. Said he is dealing, but that the Lattimore thing is kind of worrying me. And Peyton got pretty salty when they asked him about it yesterday. He got really salty. Even for Peyton, he got salty.
But we all know Peyton doesn't discuss injuries unless he has to.
Right, and I'm saying that because I know how he is, but he seemed even more testy when he was asked about it yesterday.
Right.
Well, I think they asked him more than once. And,
so many times they say, no comment.
So, I mean, hopefully, I mean, look, that would be a disaster if either of these were major.
Ooh.
But again, we don't know. I mean, who knows, in next week, you're going to hear reports of, Delvin Bro was visiting a hernia specialist in Philadelphia. Come on.
And Lattimore had his lower leg amputated.
Right. I mean, remember when we signed Spiller and all of a sudden a picture surfaces of him somewhere in Mississippi on crutches and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Well, that's your partnership with the Ochsner.
Oh. Boy, good thing we named our facility after them.
Right. That's not the worst thing you could do.
So that's really the biggest thing going forward to me are those two guys, because coming into the season, I thought the secondary seems to be a strength. Now both these guys,
Crawley stepping in, I think is a good thing, giving him a lot more time, I guess you could say, because he's clearly going to be on the field a lot.
Okay, but I'd rather not have to rely on him. We got Lattimore and Bro. Those are our top two.
Sure,
we don't want those guys on the field right now.
Okay, but I'm going to be – I know you're saying next man up. Fuck that. These two guys are head and shoulders, I think, above the rest. I'm going to be worried if those two guys aren't on the field.
Well, Ellerby's head and shoulders above a lot of people, but he couldn't get on the field. So those other people –
Yeah, but we all knew that. We all knew that.
I'm just saying. I don't know what's wrong with Bro and Lattimore to the point where.
I don't know what's wrong. I just hope it's nothing serious because that would have me incredibly worried.
Yeah. All right. So what about Kikaha? Yeah.
Ah! 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 again goes along with
Kaha. Moving around.
Kaha said, hey. He's shown some flashes. He's moving pretty good off three ACL tears. I mean, I don't know.
That's that Austrian Surgical Center.
Right.
All right, and then, Ramchek, how's he doing filling in for Armstead?
Reports are he's looking okay, and Bree says, you know, he's absorbing a lot of things, and he's, I mean, for a rookie, he said he seems to be doing okay. I mean, it seems like he's definitely going to...
Who's the veteran that's kind of sitting there waiting in the wings?
Street. Oh.
No, behind Ramchek now.
Oh, Khalif Barnes.
Yeah, Khalif Barnes.
Because we cut that guy Franklin we just signed from San Diego. We already cut him today.
Yeah. And then Streif, you mentioned Streif, and Streif did, or was it Streif or Warford that said that they like playing next to each other? They're really kind of gelling already.
What's Warford and Streif? They're on the right side.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, one of them said they really enjoy playing next to the other one.
One thing that's another worrisome thing that's come out is are the center's issues with snapping the ball. Apparently Jack Allen sucks at it. He's had a lot of problems. And apparently, like, Kelemente isn't practicing right now because I think he would, if Unger isn't playing for week one, I think he's going to lean towards Kelemente playing center for the couple of games that he can. But the centers, you know, especially Jack Allen, they're having issues. So it wouldn't necessarily surprise me to see them maybe bring in another center. I mean, do you think they give Nick Mangold a call?
I mean, for what? Did he retire or did they just cut him for injury?
I think he was hurt a little last year, but I'm sure he also had a
pretty big contract.
Good contract, whatever he had recently signed, and it made sense for them to cut him. Plus he's, you know, 31, 2, 3, however old he is.
Yeah. Not terrible.
I mean, I guess it, you know, if they know more than we do about Unger, because Peyton seemed to think Unger was going to be ready for week one, and if he is, they probably won't bring him in, but if he has a setback or something happens.
I mean, look, that's just the injury portion of the, you know, training camp. You can't predict injuries. You can just hope to, you know, God, you just hope to survive them. We've already had, you know, so many guys go down. But it's not like I think the Ravens have lost like seven starters since June 1st.
Well, yeah, they just lost one of their tight ends. They just lost MCL surgery done for the year.
Right. I mean, holy mackerel.
Yeah.
It's injuries. You can't sit here and worry about it. You can't say, I hope everyone plays every fucking snap and there's no injury. But you know what? That's not going to happen. Right? It's not going to happen. So you can't sit here and worry about it or fucking, you know. You can only talk about what you know, again. And with Peyton, you don't know shit until after the season.
Until it's too late.
Right. So, I don't know what it... But, you know, when we talk about Coleman a while, you know, when we first started the segment, you know one thing... And look, 3 years in the league obviously helps, and I'm sure he's healthy, that helps. But having Curtis Johnson back might play a part in it also.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, that's one of the things that I loved, you know, Curtis Johnson, and I hated to see him go to Tulane and then to Chicago after he lost that job. So Curtis Johnson, with him as our wide receiver coach, I feel confident in our wide receivers. You know, you have Drew Brees, who makes everybody look good, and then Johnson, who knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and that's... You know, it's funny, we kind of slept on CJ a little bit, especially considering that we talked about how this team's going to get better, the fact that they replaced all these defensive coaches, got the new linebacker coach, defensive line special teams. We didn't talk a lot about CJ, but it's, you know, it's kind of looking like now he's, I mean, look, the guy is a great receivers coach for a reason. I mean, look what he did with turning the receivers we had before, Colston and Devery and Beecham.
Right. And look, in my opinion, all those guys, God bless them, they were the heart of the team, you know, our Super Bowl run, and Colston was great, but none of those guys were elite. None of those guys had elite talent. Not like, you know, Fitzgerald or Megatron or, you know.
Oh, no.
Or even a Chad Johnson. Or, you know, none of them were elite. They were great, and they and they were part of the one of the greatest offensive offenses ever to play the game. And I guess I'm saying is that I think CJ can get the most out of out of his wide receiver. Again, having Drew Brees obviously doesn't hurt.
Yeah, that helps everybody. But again, we point back to look what he did with Devery Henderson. A guy couldn't catch anything.
Maybe
and all of a sudden he became incredibly sure-handed this time with the Saints. So yeah, that's definitely a big plus getting him back in the fold for sure.
Right. And Meacham, remember he went to San Diego and couldn't do anything.
Did nothing. He got paid. That's about it.
Right. Yeah, good for them.
All right. Y'all ready for the next segment?
Yep.
Sure.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and do game re... Oh, wait. No, never mind. Let's do look at him tweets. And I figure we don't really have a fake news because all the news has really been training.
No, it's real now. We can put fake news to rest for the whole year.
What you did there.
You're fired.
Okay. So this is tough because all the questions are related to camp, which we just talked about. I don't know who that Chris comes in with. Here we go with the fucking injuries, which I guess that was related to
the cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nick NRG314 says thoughts on Brandon Coleman this season, having a good camp so far, and I think he has real potential if he figures it out.
Superstar.
So that's the shortest look at him tweets ever, because everything...
Well, hold on. There was another tweet. I retweeted it. It's not a good tweet, but somebody posted a picture. Apparently it was from last night's Preacher episode, which I haven't seen yet.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to watch it tonight after my meeting. But apparently there was a kid from Taiwan in the episode, and he was wearing a Falcons Super Bowl champion t-shirt.
Yeah. That's awesome. Even AMC's The Preacher is in on the Falcons blue, a 25-point lead.
Which is great in and of itself, but then when you remember that season 2 of Preacher was being filmed in New Orleans, too, so that's another
thing. I didn't realize that. So there's the influence.
Yeah.
So somebody on the production staff, on the costume staff.
Is a big Saints fan. That's fucking fun. That's funny.
Now that's probably the best.
Yeah.
Ever. And then, of course, you got the Saints fans who brought a, 3-28 score. What is it? The banner? Flag?
Oh, yeah. The scoreboard. Yep. 28-3.
Now, what would have been better is if they'd have gone to the Falcons open training camp practice with the flag. At first, that's
what
it was.
Don't put it past anybody. Hey, fuck the Falcons. We got a job for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so besides that, you want to do a little NFL reach around since everybody is kind of...
Sure.
All right, what's happening?
Camps.
Maybe we shouldn't, because I'm about to sit here and complain about the NFL Network reporting on training
camp. Well, there you go. I mean, like, everybody's getting back into it. Everybody's excited. Major injuries yet, although Damon and I were talking. The Ravens,
that's what I was gonna say.
The Ravens have had some injuries already. One of their tight end just got lost for the season with an MCL injury. Joe Flacco hurt himself. Lifting weights. He might not be back.
What Saint did that happen to, or was it an LSU player? Remember they tore a pec, or that's what the story was?
Oh, definitely a Saint did that. Lifting weights. Definitely tore a pec. Was it your boy Junior? Did he tear a pec?
Nah. Nah, he only ripped belts.
Ah. Junior back at Redskins camp.
Oh, he's there? He's playing?
Is he?
He's still there. They signed him to a 1-year minimum deal, yeah. The keep him around.
I thought he hurt himself again this year.
Oh,
that was last year. No,
he'll find a way.
He tore his Achilles twice for them.
Okay, and this is his third year. Okay.
This is his third year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. he tore an Achilles each year.
I have a feeling he hurts himself on purpose so that he can get paid not to play.
This guy is fucking stupid!
Like, no, but he was still getting paid by us. Right. Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah, he is their money.
Well, you know, one of the big things that I'm expecting is Dallas will probably sign O.J. Simpson, all right? Since he's free?
Fit right in?
You know, he'll fit right into that organization. Well, that's what I'm working for.
So
or Cleveland.
Referring
or Cleveland. That Dallas...
All the criminals that Dallas employs?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think I want to say they had another defensive lineman get suspended for testing positive for something.
All right. Now, they did have that poor wide receiver.
Ooh, yeah.
Is that the one that didn't show up?
Lucky Whitehead?
Yeah, Lucky Whitehead, right.
Yeah. His girlfriend. What was his girlfriend? Or somebody stole
his
dog and sold it to some rap group?
Right.
That sounds so white. Some rapper group. And they held it for... Who does that? Then he gets charged or arrested for something that he did or didn't do?
No, he didn't do. Somebody impersonated him. Like somehow somebody knew his personal information and told him he was Lucky Whitehead, and the cops arrested the real Lucky Whitehead, and then Dallas said, "We don't believe you. We're cutting you." And then poof, like, yeah, it wasn't true. It was false.
Wow. Right. But the thing is, Dallas finally, for the first time in their history, cut him. Like, you know, they heard the news, he was cut 6 hours later. You know,
the one time they do something right,
the one time,
the wrong
right,
guy.
Right, and then 24 hours later, he was cleared. You know,
did they sign him back, or what's the story?
He signed with somebody else.
Yeah, I guess
he signed. Well, then his luck continued to be bad because he signed with the New York Jets.
Ooh.
So this man has no luck. The unlucky Whitehead.
Wow, that. Yeah, I was struggling to follow that whole story. I mean, mainly because I wasn't interested enough to research it. But
I mean, come on, Jeff. Your coworkers didn't talk to you about it all week. You are in cowboy country.
Yeah.
All those cowboy fans around you?
No, the people I work with are all over the country, though. Remember, I work online. I don't communicate with people who live here.
You don't actually work.
And a lot of the people I work with aren't as big of football fans.
Losers.
You know, they can't be. They live in places like Cleveland and Atlanta. And, I mean, our national home office is in Atlanta. So, obviously, everyone I work with who lives in Atlanta has no football team to follow.
Oh, speaking of Atlanta.
And Detroit. My boss lives in Detroit. So,
speaking of Atlanta.
Cleveland, Detroit, and Atlanta is the people I work with. How are we going to talk about football?
Speaking of Atlanta.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
The stadium's roof is going to be permanently clenched.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what happened? They couldn't find it in an accident?
It does, like everything in Atlanta, it doesn't work.
They said they got it to open three quarters of the way. Wow. So the quest for a truly retractable roof in the NFL continues, right?
Well, I'm sure other stadiums probably work, just Atlanta's doesn't because it's a fucking asshole. Sometimes you can't always control what your asshole does. You know? You try, but it doesn't always work that way.
They got the runs.
Yeah, well, that's disgusting.
I'll throw something out there, and I'll ask you, have you done it? Have you been going on the New Orleans Saints website, NewOrleansSaints.com?
Not.
They do a very good job, especially during training camp, with their videos they post. They post some interesting videos. Of course, if you're a Saints fan, you know, the quarterbacks do something.
Oh, yeah, the QB challenges.
The QB challenge, that's, you know, some kind of weird... Or, you know, challenge, like The other day they were hitting a tetherball off of a goalpost and, you know, getting a point. You're playing around.
I saw, yeah, like they were rolling the big foam donuts.
Right, you know, right, and that's just kind of, you know, that's nice to watch. You kind of get to see the players, kind of a behind-the-scenes deal. But they had a real nice interview with Coach Mora.
Okay.
And, look, he was the first coach that, especially, you know, like the three of us, that we remember.
You know, yeah, that's the first coach I remember.
Right, and he was the first coach with a winning season in New Orleans, and we definitely had success. But So he holds a special place in my heart. So it's always, you know, they had a nice interview with him, and then did you see the Saints' new locker room?
I know they got new locker rooms, and I know the players were raving about it, but I didn't watch the video of the tour that they did of the locker rooms.
Right,
supposedly they're pretty legit.
Right, Zach Strief gave the tour of the new locker room, and wow, it is nice. I mean, it is first-class accommodations.
Those are in the dome or in the practice facility?
Yeah, at the practice facility.
Okay.
At the practice facility. Okay. So Mr. Benson paid for this himself, you know.
Or maybe that's part of the Ashner payment.
Could be, you know. But they're really nice, man. I mean, first-class, so... So if you're a Saints fan, go over to NewOrleansSaints.com and you can
see all the videos.
Yeah, go see that. See the videos. They have some pretty good galleries of the Saints Station. That's always fun to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, look, that's one thing else. I mean, the practice facilities, both Saints and the Pelicans over there that they just built, those are all top-notch, first-class facilities for sure.
There's really not a whole lot more to...
No, yeah, I mean, this right. I mean, this was, you know, this was the first 5 days of training camp. There's not that terrible much information.
Yeah, we don't want to overdo it.
Right, like you said, most of it is, you know, hype and this. And even, you know, look, Thursday, depending on when you listen to this, but Thursday of this week is the Hall of Fame game. And this weekend, Morton Anderson is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So... You know, maybe we'll...
That's Thursday, August the...
Third? Yeah.
Third.
Right. That's the game.
That's the actual game.
Right. They're doing it different. Back in the day, they used to have the ceremonies and then the game following.
Sunday. But they realized, hey, if we stick it on a Thursday night, we'll get more ratings.
I'm not sure how much I'll like it that way, but...
I'm probably not going to watch any of it.
I might watch it strictly... Well, I won't watch the game as much as I might watch the Hall of Fame
ceremony. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, that's going to be what Saturday. Yeah.
The
only
way, way I watch it is if I've got nothing else going on. You know what I mean? When you're just kind of channel surfing and there's nothing good on TV, like on a Sunday, then you know, if I don't have anything else better going on, I'll turn it on. But I'm not. It's not to me. It's not going to be a point. It's not Game of Thrones appointment viewing.
No, but I'll. I want to watch Morton's, you know, Morton's acceptance speech. And...
Well, but again, like, I don't know, am I a good fan or a bad fan if I look at it like I'll see his acceptance speech on YouTube or anywhere
on
the internet the next day?
No, you're right.
I don't know if that makes me good or bad, but I kind of feel like nowadays, right, you don't need to see it. The only thing you need to see live nowadays... is the actual Saints game, right, the live sports games, or Survivor, or Game of Thrones. And even Game of Thrones, I watch the next day. All right, then for now, we'll say that's all the show we have for you. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like we said, if you're a Game of Thrones viewer, which, you know, I think we had a tweet last week from somebody who, he goes, you guys, the show was great until you got to the Game of Thrones part. So I tweeted him back and I said, and I apologize, I don't know your Twitter name and I don't have Twitter pulled up to look for you. But anyway, I said, is it that you're not a Game of Thrones fan or that we suck at talking about Game of Thrones? And he said he's not a Game of Thrones fan. So clearly he gave us his blessing to continue to do Game of Thrones post show conversation. And we just want to warn everybody, there's always spoilers. We assume if you're listening to that, then you are caught up. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, and if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Back out.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, non-Game of Thrones donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Friday night, we made it. Had the lights, we're faded. Raise your glasses, strike the matches. Burn, 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 till the city's on fire. Daylight's far away, can't stop us, there's no way. Raise your glasses, strike the matches. Burn, 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 till the city's on fire. Till the city's on fire. Till the city's on fire. Raise your glasses, strike the matches. Burn, burn.
So let's get into the Game of the Thrones. Now that we don't have two episodes to talk about, we just have this one.
Right.
And we're halfway through the season.
I know that. Well, not it's seven this year, right?
Okay, so we're almost halfway.
Right. Almost there.
I mean, I kind of want to start with the end and talk about how old Eddie gets the last word.
Yes, he does, huh? I mean, well, that's how it will go. I mean, look, I mean, they've really been doing, I feel like they're going fast this year. You know, I mean, houses are falling, battles are being won, you know, real quick. So, here we go, however we want to. Yeah, Lady Tyrell?
I don't remember. Well, the way they edited it, I almost felt like I was wondering if she had betrayed Daenerys and actually made an alliance with the Lannisters, because Jaime and them were marching up to the castle and there was no fight back. It was just like, it was like they were marching to the castle and suddenly the two of them are in the chamber having a conversation. So I'm like, hey, shit, did that bitch just betray? Or did she just turn? And then of course over the course of the conversation he was giving her the respectful way out. And then after she drinks the poison, she's like, yeah, you wouldn't do that if you knew.
Right. The part I like is she tells him, oh, that's Joffrey's sword, right? And yeah. And she said, what's his name? I think it's Widowmaker or something like that. And she goes, he was a twat. he's a good character, you know, and he was a good character, I guess. And now I guess the house, I don't know who the house goes to now. I'm not sure who's left. They killed her husband and grandkids in the
right. Well,
the Citadel.
It's just like a sanctuary for the Lannister army right now, right?
Right, right. And I think next week, you remember the Bank of Braavos came collecting, and she said, give me a fortnight and I'll repay the loan. So I'm pretty sure that she is looting the wealth.
Who?
Cersei.
Oh, okay. So she's basically robbing the bank.
No, she's robbing the Tyrells.
Who don't pay the exist bank anymore.
Right, but they still have they still have gold and, you know, whatever, you know, wealth they had. So
I mean, that's not a major part of all this, is it?
Well, the banking is, 'cause remember, the Lannisters are broke. They have no more.
So now that there's no more Tyrells to rob, now they're really broke. They kind of screwed themselves? Is that what you're saying?
This guy is fucking stupid!
Well, right. That's it, right. Okay. Right. Right. They're going to take the Tyrell's war. You know, their wealth.
Okay. So...
And repay the bank.
Okay.
Right.
I missed all that. Okay. I wasn't paying attention for that.
Right. And then, I mean, you got so... maybe we'll go backwards. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. You know, the Unsullied took
Westeros, no?
No, Westeros. That? Westeros is the name of the continent.
Okay.
did I not send you a very good website? Huh?
Yeah, I didn't read it.
the Unsullied captured Casterly Rock, which is the home of the Lannisters.
But
you realize that
where is
going
the
on?
Iron Throne? I thought the Iron Throne was at Casterly Rock, no?
No, the Iron Throne is in King's Landing.
King's Landing, okay, that's what it was.
That map I sent you, if you could look at it and maybe visualize it. I'm serious. If you look at it and you can visualize it, it might help you understand these things.
All right. So hold on. There was a conversation between Jaime and the Greyjoy guy. The asshole that's trying to.
The uncle whose name I don't know.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Well. Why not? Because the Lannisters deserve that guy, first of all. Second of all, maybe not Jaime, because you see the story arc you referred to last week.
Right.
I have to say, the reason I bring it up is because it only fuels your argument that Jaime is going to be the one to kill Cersei. I think all that contributes to that theory.
That guy?
Well, just the whole thing where...
Well, more so, look, when he was talking with Lady Tyrell, I mean...
Or maybe it's that.
That's the part where you go, you know, I mean, it's like he was... That whole scene is exactly what we were talking about last week, about he's going to be the one to kill her. At least I feel like that's what they're...
I think, based on the conversation we had last week, watching the episode now, looking for cues for that, I'm seeing them. And now sometimes, you know, those who are inclined to get their panties in a bunch will get their panties in a bunch. So, you know, another way of saying, if you look for something, you'll find something. But, come on. It's gotta be it.
Right.
That's a solid theory.
Right. Who else?
Oh, so talk about the meeting of fire and ice. Jon Snow and Daenerys meet for the first time. They ride the long walk with Tyrion, and then they get there, and it's not as smooth as you would have hoped it would have been, but realistic.
Right. Well, she's definitely, her character, they have given her, it's changes here. You know, it kind of feels like they've taken some of the humanity out of her, like where he is the ruler now, you know.
Yeah. Do you get that feeling like I do that, like, right, in this episode even, like, highlights it that, like, I worry sometimes that she's more, like, demanding respect than earning it.
Right. Well, right, maybe in her eyes, he's already earned the respect, and now, that's her eyes. Now he is... He isn't the Khaleesi or the mother dragon, even though, you know, they say all that. But now he is a queen of Westeros. A true queen.
Maybe she has to say the things that she's saying, but she doesn't like it.
Well, I don't know if she doesn't like it. I think he's more adult now. And look,
I fear is, I'll let you get to that point, but the point I'm saying is, like, the way that she, and maybe it's the actress, the way she's portraying it, but it's almost like I demand you to bend your knee and swear allegiance to me just because of who I am. Like, that's kind of, like, I get why Jon Snow would be like, bitch, no. You're behaving just like Cersei. You haven't earned my trust. You haven't earned the right to tell me you're my queen yet. Who do you think you are? Just because you got dragons? Just because you got power? Just because you have an army? Just because you sailed across over here? I don't know you. Just like how Varys told her last week. Like, bitch, yeah, I will turn against you. If you are not representative of the people. And I don't know. I got the feeling from that interchange that her first approach, her strategy for her first approach with Jon didn't work with Jon. And I think Unfortunately, she listens to Tyrion, and she adjusted, right. And then the conversation they had when it was just the two of them overlooking right. that balcony was the real conversation.
Right, right. And her agreeing to let them mine the dragon glass, you know.
Right.
Will
forge a relationship.
Right, you know. So that's...
But they both, you know, they both stand for their convictions, right? I mean, they both,
right.
And I think she respects that in him.
Mm-hmm.
Because she knows that he's not doing it in defiance of her, but he's doing it because he's got character.
Right. And that's the thing with her. I mean, I don't know, you know, when he asks her, am I your prisoner? And she goes, not yet. I don't, I don't know if he's not that type of leader. At least that's what we've been led to believe, you know, all up until, you know, until now. The only people he really ever punished were the...
I think it's smart for her to reply that way. Because, again, she can't let her guard down. She doesn't know this guy either.
He's learning to play the game,
right.
The Game of Thrones. And remember, you know, that was Tyrion and her had the conversation at the end of last season, you know, and he goes, now you're in the big game, you know, or the whatever he called, I don't know, the big game, but, you know. So... Her character has definitely changed, you know, has definitely, and I think mature, because I think, I know when the books start off, I think Daenerys Targaryen is like 13 or 14 years old.
When she starts.
Right, and obviously the lady who plays her, the actress, wasn't a teenager. She was, in her, late 20s. When the series, mid to late 20s, I guess, when the series started. So I think in the books, he grows up.
Well, yeah.
We don't get to see that visualization unless you're talking about...
I think you've seen more of that from Sansa, the actress.
Right, that's exactly right, right, right. She was a little girl now, and now she's in her early 20s, and you can tell she's,
Right.
And if he's that tall, when he walks next to Littlefinger, I mean, he towers over him.
Well, right, that... And that could just be the way they shoot it as well to try and...
Right, right, that's what I'm saying. That's why I ask. Is she that tall? Or Right, or do they put her in high heels and, do they want her to tower over him?
Right. I think... All right, so since you brought him up, what the fuck is going on with this
dude? Is he going to betray somebody?
Is he going to betray the Starks?
Yes.
Or is he using them for, and to what end?
To be king. Remember, that's if you followed his...
He wants the king of Westeros?
Yes.
How the fuck is he going to pull this off? He's got nothing and no one.
Well, no. Remember, he's the regent, the Knights of the Vale. Remember, he's the one who brought them in because the... You remember the little boy who was sucking his mom's teat and he was like eight years old? It was Stark's wife's sister, Lady Arryn.
The one that he pushed
off the moon roof.
Right.
The moon door, they call it. Right. So he, because the boy isn't of age, he's not an adult to be king. Don't you remember he's manipulating the boy?
Okay.
That's why, he's manipulating the boy and he's being the regent.
He could become king if that family assumes the throne?
Well, he wants to marry Sansa and then put a Stark on the...
Ooh, I mean, he's got a really long game.
No, he does, but, he's gone from a brothel owner to, the regent of,
See, but think about the whole way it plays out and how many episodes we have left. He can't be a key player, he can't be a true threat to the throne. Like, to me, it's either going to be Daenerys or Cersei. I don't even think Jon wants the throne.
Right. No, right. It definitely won't be Jon. Right. It'll be one of those two.
Cersei or Daenerys. So his role in that story, it can't be... Like, so how do you get from where we are today marrying his plan, putting him in a position to doing it, other than to fuck up somebody's plan?
That's it. That's all he's going to play. He can only be the spoiler to one side or the other. And obviously, since he's close with
the Starks,
right now, I mean, that's
he's gonna spoil, you know,
that's
Sansa's
plan. Right. The side you figure he will mess up.
So
you know,
he's
somehow
actually an ally, but we don't know that yet.
Right, because remember the last, and here's what kind of what the image that flashed through my head is when Ned Stark, you know, all the way back in season one, when he went to King's Landing, Ned Stark put his hands on Littlefinger because Littlefinger had met Ned Stark's wife, Catherine, and brought her to the brothel because no one was supposed to know she was there. And then he brought Ned there. And so when he said something and pissed Ned off, and Ned grabbed him just like John did, I think a couple episodes ago, and the last episode when they were in the tombs, and told him, if you touch her, I'll kill you, you know?
Yeah.
And it was very reminiscent of that, of the scene played out in season one, and Littlefinger fucked Ned and you know, got him killed. So, again, he's a little Weasley bastard. So,
he's always,
you know,
fan, but yeah, right.
Right.
All right, so anything else from the episode worth bringing up?
Well, you have Bran coming back and finally...
yeah. Which is perfect timing where Littlefinger tells Sansa, you need to see everything from every angle, from every perspective, so that nothing is a surprise. You need to see what has happened, what will happen, all, you know, talking about being able to see everything. And then on cue, Bran shows up, who basically tells her, I can see everything from every angle, from every time of everything and everything. Bran is a huge asset. So maybe somehow we don't see that Sansa makes a play and has a claim because she was married to the king. Was she not? So is she not, in a way, a rightful queen? If the king dies, not like that.
Because it's blood. And he was never married to the king.
He's never consummated either.
Well, she was married to Tyrion. She never married Joffrey. Remember, they pushed her, you know, they pushed her back because Ned was a traitor and they wanted to make the deal with the Tyrells.
Okay.
But, you know.
Well, in either case.
Right. But anyway, yeah.
They got a lot of assets on their side here. I mean, you got the dragons. You've got Daenerys, you've got Dragonglass.
Well,
you've got Jon Snow. You've got Bran now. You've got all the little birdies. You've got the Red Witch. You've got...
Well, no, the Red Witch is leaving, going across the sea.
Yeah, but you know she did her part. But it's pretty much everyone against the Lannisters.
But here's what I'm waiting for to see if it ever comes. Do the characters ever know it? Like we talked about it again last week or whatever. Daenerys is Jon Snow's aunt. They are blood.
Yeah,
Bran's the only one who knows that.
It'll be curious.
And
maybe that's going to be the piece
but
that solidifies.
Somebody, but here, you know, and I had actually a friend of mine tell me this long ago, you know, I think, you know, season one or two or three, because he read the books, is that Jon Snow is going to ride one of the dragons.
Yeah, that's what I asked last week, is when they're going to ride the dragons, because...
Right. Okay.
Heard in the books that Tyrion, Snow, and Daenerys all rode dragons.
I don't think so. Look, the books are so far behind where we are now.
Right.
I don't. That hasn't even come close. But.
But yeah. Anyway. All right. So the last thing I wanted to talk about Game of Thrones was Jorah getting killed.
Grayscale
or whatever you call it.
Yeah. That's it.
I love the whole woke up. Feeling better. It must have been the night dress. I just love that. And how even the guy was pretty much, I think, didn't he just pretty much tell, what's his name? Like, yeah, you broke the rule, but you did good. So he kind of rewarded him.
Well, no, he told him he to, all those scrolls and books were they're going bad. And back in the day, well, you have you know you didn't have a printer, so what you had to do you had to rewrite them, you know, in a new book.
You're the copy machine,
right? Right, you're the copy machine. That's what he told him to copy. I mean, when he looked kind of sad, he said, "What do you expect? The reward? You know, you still bit." Right. But I think there's something in those books, in my opinion. I think in those books is the knowledge of the White Walkers or something. I mean, he wants. It's the knowledge he wants, so I think he did that on. I do so. Yes, in the end, I do think it's a reward. That's
right. And we need that for the again. Everybody's working for
the weekend. Go ahead.
No, you're right. Like to me, like again, everybody is working for this one common good here, and his role in that is seeking knowledge, sharing what he learns in the ancient scribes. You know, I mean, the whole way to cure this, the fact that dragon glass exists here, and now whatever other secrets exist in those scrolls that everyone else takes for granted because they haven't needed them until now.
Right.
Has brought it all together. Either that or the hand of J.R.R. Tolkien, or whatever his name ever is.
Right, you know, so how I see it going with John Mormont.
George R.R. Martin, sorry.
Right. Is, you know, telling Doug, you know, the the Khaleesi's going to be in some sort of danger or trouble, and you think that she's going to be, you know, done for, and John Mormont arrives and somehow saves the day.
Yeah, something.
But, you know.
Or vice versa. All right. So, do you still think it's Cersei first, White Walkers next, or is it White Walkers first, Cersei next?
It because of the way the Khaleesi was acting, it's Cersei first. That war is going on. That war is happening. But she needs, she being you know Daenerys Targaryen, she needs the North. Because she's lost the Tyrells, she's lost the Dornish, she's lost the her.
Right.
Her
so now she needs She needs the North more than. I mean, that's our only ally left.
Right.
There's really nobody left.
But they're not her ally because Jon Snow won't bend the knee. Right. So she's lost everybody.
So she now they now know that they've got to acquiesce Jon's fanciful desire to fight some majestic nightmare that doesn't really exist and no one believes.
Right.
In order to get him to help them.
Yeah. To rally the North.
Hey.
To rally the North behind her.
Well, we'll see what happens in the next week's episode.
That's the thing. I wonder...
It's going to move fast. What we're talking about today, I bet we get half our answers next week.
Sure. But I'm sure if I look online I could find this. I'm just wondering, I know with the Sopranos, they did this with their final season. They split it up, you know, again, it was like a 13, they normally did 10, but it was like a 13 episode season. They did 6 and 7. It's about the same thing. And I'm just wondering, you know, do we have to wait another year for the next season or not?
For what? For a resolution? To what?
But the Sopranos, what they did, normally there would be a year between seasons, but it was only like 6 months between seasons.
I haven't heard anything about scheduling. All I
know is it's 7 episodes this year and 6 episodes next.
I think that's what I heard, and I hope that's what they stick to, because you know they may, who knows? But I kind of feel like, if you think about it, when Sopranos did that and then Breaking Bad did that, between the time that Sopranos died, that was many years. But I really feel like TV, and by TV I mean all the way from network programming to cable programming to Netflix to Amazon to HBO to everything, that just entertainment programming was, over the last maybe 15 years or 20 years, has been adjusting and finding its way to adapt to the new world order, as it constantly just Apple just everything just kind of, and Netflix just disrupted everything. So I think showrunners and TV executives or whatever, programming executives, have had to find what is the new right way to do things. So I think when The Sopranos did it at the time, they thought it was the right way. Clearly it wasn't. I don't think anybody's going to do that shit again. I think when Breaking Bad did it with AMC, hopefully they learned that, like, it's not... Well, I don't know. The way they did it was they took the final season, what, did like six episodes kind of thing. But that's a summer show. It's a different thing. It's who you are and what you're on. HBO, I don't know what I... You can't predict what they're going to do because, I mean, think about it like this. Game of Thrones, I think, for the large part, has been a, you know, March, April show, right? You kind of always knew it was going to premiere March or April. But this year, it didn't come out till July because they just weren't ready for it. So that's, I worry sometimes that, like, all right, they say it's going to be six episodes for the final season, but who the fuck knows when that final season is going to air? It could be 6 months from now. It could be a year from now. It depends on when they need. I think it depends on. I think they're going to hold that shit for when they need subscriptions to renew.
No, well, I mean, I don't know about all that. I mean, look, I don't know if they've even filmed next season yet, or not.
I get it, and I agree. But I'm also thinking you're going to hold the release of the season until it's most beneficial to getting renewals. Game of Thrones is going to generate an annual contract for people.
Right. Well,
so hold it? Well, I'm following the money, and I'm being cynical, but I'm thinking they're going to hold it for when it is. When they're going to look at their analytics, and they're going to say, we have the largest renewal month, and that's when we're going to release Game of Thrones.
Right. Well, look, but what The Sopranos did, but HBO's done it with several of their series, because, again, they're not a TV network. They're not beholden to a real schedule.
Yeah, and hold that thought for a second. Let me, because I can extend my length of this conversation if I just go check one thing.
What I'm saying is that, HBO doesn't, they're not beholden to a schedule like the networks are, where, all seasons start, all new episodes start, I don't know when they start, in August or September, that's when, that's when the new episodes
They've got a show queued up for almost every month. I mean, think about this. After Game of Thrones, I'm ready for, what is it, Westworld.
Walking Dead.
Just HBO.
Right. But again, my point being that they never hold to a schedule. So, like, you... Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about grades. Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about grades. Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre.